Welcome to the Pneuma Church podcast. Wherever you are in the world, we are so glad you've joined us. Our prayer is that this message will reveal more of who our Heavenly Father is as we all grow deep in intimacy with Jesus. Enjoy this message.
'24 has been exceptional. It's been a great year. We've seen the fingerprints of God all over. And today we gather to celebrate the birth of Jesus. But I want to remind us, in a world marked by uncertainty and brokenness and longing, of that there's an unshakable truth, and this is that Jesus is our hope. He is our hope. Say to your neighbor, He is our hope. There's a lot of uncertainty. I want to read something to you that I found on the web or jumped on the web this morning. Significant changes in the world will happen in the very near future. Duh, really? You think so? These changes will have profound impact on humanity. For example, petrol stations will disappear just like video stores did. That's quite profound. Here are some predicted changes. Petrol diesel engines consisting of 20,000 pieces will be removed, while the electric car engines, which only have 20 pieces, will increase. I don't know if that's true. It was on Facebook, so might not be true. Just saying. Gasoline pumps will be gone. Well, if there's electric cars, gasoline pumps will be gone. Another one, the biggest smart car companies have allocated money to start building plants that produce only electric cars. That's true. The coal industry will disappear and the gas oil companies stopped. Drilling and mining of oil will stop. A child today will see our current cars in museums. The future is approaching faster than we can imagine. This is an article that was published today that I read. I can continue. There's like 27 of them. But what I'm trying to say is that there's a lot of uncertainty in the world that should not be impacting us as believers as we walk with Jesus. Today, I boldly and unapologetically declare Jesus is the only hope of this world. He is the only true hope of this world. Nobody has done or can do for this world what God did when He sent Jesus, the Son of God, to be born in a stable, but yet to be the Savior of humanity. I'm not sure if I've told you this throughout the year, but if you haven't heard it yet, you're going to hear it today, and you're going to hear it constantly when I'm on this pulpit. But we have a loving Father. We have a loving Father who desires for His kids to live in joy and abundance. We have a loving Father whose every promise and commandment is to ensure that you and I succeed. We have a loving Father whose every promise and commandment is to bring each of His sons and daughters into the purpose of why we are alive. You see, you and I are designed. We are created by the Creator for His purpose and His purpose alone. And that alone should aspire within us a hope that remains steadfast no matter the circumstances out there. It is only hopelessness, folks, that robs us of purpose and potential. Chew on that one a little. Hopelessness robs us. Why does it rob us? Because hopelessness undermines purpose and stifles our potential. True hope, on the other hand, comes from God. True hope, on the other hand, is rooted in His nature and leads to a deeper faith in His promises and His faithfulness. True hope anticipates. What do I mean by that? It looks forward to something with expectation and excitement, trusting that good things are coming. All of us need to know that good things are coming. God is in control. God is in control. True hope reflects. True hope reflects a heart full of faith, ready to embrace what lies ahead with confidence and joy. True hope is actually like a supernatural magnet. Why do I say that? Because true hope, the hope in God, attracts opportunities that we need so that we can fulfill our reason for being. True hope is a supernatural magnet. I want you to listen to me today. Our hope does not exist because we have the best training. Our hope does not exist because we've got ourselves the best job. Our hope does not exist because we've psyched ourselves into, we've just got to believe harder, or we've just got to push through a little longer. No, 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 no. That is relying on yourself and your own strength. That actually is wishful thinking. You see, true hope is not a product of determination. Come on. You got to hear me today. True hope, much like faith, is the product of surrender. It's the product, just like faith, of surrender. Surrendering to what? To an all-loving Father who has the best in mind for you and me. Surrendering to the reality of who He truly is. You see, true hope is actually the product of His presence. It's the product of His presence. Because it is whilst we're in His presence that we are able to look deep into His beautiful eyes and see who He truly is. That's what we did just then. We spend time saying, come and let us adore Him. We worship You. We spend time in His presence, looking deep into His eyes and seeing that He is truly wonderful counselor. He is truly mighty God. He is truly everlasting Father. He is truly the Prince of Peace. You see, as you and I spend time face to face with Him, this wonderful counselor, this mighty God, this everlasting Father, this Prince of Peace, our hope can do nothing but increase because we see Him for who He is. And you know what, folks? As your hope increases, guess what happens? You start walking in boldness because there's a confidence that grows in you as you trust His promises. You step out in faith, not in fear. As your hope increases, you start speaking with authority. Your words carry life and encouragement and truth, reflecting the wisdom that comes from Him. As you walk and your hope increases, you see with clarity, your perspective shifts and you start to align with God's vision, seeing possibilities instead of problems. You know, one thing that we've said so many times is what you focus on grows. We need clarity. As your hope increases, you start radiating a peace, the shalom. Your presence calms storms. Your presence brings stabilities to others, reflecting the peace within you that you've received with Him as you have looked into His eyes and found who He truly is. You see, nobody who looks into the face of God walks away without hope. Nobody who truly lingers longer, and that's how come this is so important for us as a family here at Numa East, to linger longer, to see Him face to face. Nobody who looks into His face walks away without hope, because as you see Him face to face, your hope rises to new levels. Psalms 42 verse 5 in the Passion Translation reads as follows. So then, my soul, why would you be depressed? Why would you sink into despair? Just keep hoping and waiting on God, your Savior. For no matter what, I will sing with praise. Listen to this. For living before His face is my saving grace. Come on. Living before His face is my saving grace. Hopelessness only reveals the distance between His face and my face. The further you are from His face, the more hopelessness seems to creep in. Hopelessness grows in that space between encounters. That's how come we have to have a daily encounter with our Lord every morning. We have to see Him face to face because hopelessness grows in that space between an awareness of His Spirit of God upon my life and the awareness of the Spirit of God in my life. We need to walk like this. You see, hopelessness grows when I give my heart to what other people will call common sense. I don't know if you've noticed, but God is not common. Don't know if you've noticed, he is supernatural. He's not just even natural. He is supernatural. He is God. He is El Shaddai. He is almighty. He is all sufficient. He's the all-breasted one, the omnipotent one. He is the one who has the ability to accomplish his purposes, even if the situations seem impossible. And he comes in Ezekiel 39:29, and he says, I will not hide my face from them any longer, for I will have poured out my spirit on them. Two things. The first is, I'm not going to hide my face. Now we think, when we think of the face of God, we think of his presence, we have to think that it is readily available, that El Shaddai, the perfect, affectionate, loving Father, whose countenance expresses delight and joy over his child, is readily available. So when we talk about face to face, we're not talking about anything else but that. That displays, that favor, that delight is what is displayed. And it is that delight, it is that favor, it is that love of the Father that marks us with eternal purpose. The second thing it says there, it says, I will not hide my face from them any longer. Why? Because I will have poured my spirit on them. What is he saying? He is saying this, the outpouring of the spirit always contains the face of God. Selah. Chew on that one. There's anything you take away. Take this away today. The outpouring of his spirit always contains the face of God. He says, I will not hide my face from them any longer because I will have. In other words, he was actually planning on pouring his spirit out. He says, I will have poured out my spirit on them. So with the outpouring of his spirit, his face is there as well constantly. Anytime the spirit of God begins to move in a room, guess what? When people start getting healed, or marriages start getting restored, or people abandon their bitterness and their resentment and their unforgiveness that they came in the room with. When people come to Christ, what is happening? The face of God is present. Which is what? The glorious presence of an all-loving Father who desires that the shalom of heaven and the joy of the Lord permeates his kids constantly, that when they walk out, they walk upright, they walk with power, they walk with confidence because they know that their Father is their Father and that I am his son and you are his daughter. You are sons and daughters of the Most High God. You see, what happens when we see him face to face? We see his heart. We see his purpose. We see his plan, which in turn bursts a supernatural hope deep within ourselves. Folks, this year we have not used the tagline, his presence is our priority, just to keep us busy. We've done it intentionally because what we want is we want to be in with deep within you a birthing of a supernatural hope that no matter what happens out there in the world, you will not be deterred. You will be strong. You will walk upright and you will be sons and daughters. You will call down heaven to earth and you will shift atmospheres. You'll lay your hands on the sick and the sick shall be healed. The dead will be raised. The lepers will be cleansed. Come on, let's get excited in this place because this is what you are called to do. Amen. Am I just preaching to this front row here? Or am I preaching to the people at the back? I see your hands. Psalm 42 verse 5 in the complete Jewish Bible. Did you know there was one? There is one. Psalm 42 verse 5 in the complete Jewish Bibles reads as this. My soul, why are you so downcast? Why are you groaning inside me? Hope in God, since I will praise him again for the salvation that comes from his presence. The complete Jewish Bible says, praise him again for the salvation that comes from his presence. I want to remind you in the scripture that the birthplace of hope is where? It is in the place of salvation. Where is the place of salvation? In your heart. in your heart, in my heart. That is the birthplace of hope. What happens is that the tangible presence of the Spirit of God comes upon me, becomes so pronounced in me that the circumstances around me become strangely dim in the light of His glory and grace. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Come on, let's sing it. Look full. And the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of His glory and grace. Turn your eyes. See Him face to face. Your hope grows in that time. You see, as you can see, hope is not mere wishful thinking, but it is a firm reliance on God's character and promise. It's not a mere wishful thinking, folks. I hope it happens. Oh, I hope. No. We got to stop being flippant and realize that the hope that we are carrying, the hope that we have, started in the manger. It started in the crib. It started in the stable. It started where it stank of urine and manure. It started where there were sheep and goats. That's where it started. But guess where? It's birthed here. The day that we give, say to Jesus, I give my life to you, Lord. Come and be the Lord of my Savior. There's a birthing, not only of salvation, of a new birth, but there is also a birthing of hope, and it increases as we spend time with Him. It increases as we see Him face to face, as we see Him for who He is. It increases, and as it increases, we start walking bolder. Anybody here need a little bit of walking a little bit bolder? It's JJ. You see, when you look at the word, the primary Hebrew word for hope, it's tikva. Tikva literally means cord or rope. It symbolizes something one holds on to for safety and security. In the Greek, the primary word for hope is elpis. Elpis carries the idea of expectation and trust and confidence. In the New Testament, it refers to a joyful and confident expectation of eternal salvation through Christ. Hebrew, tikva, focuses on waiting and confident expectation tied to God's promises. Elpis emphasizes trust and joyful expectation and confidence in salvation through Christ. Folks, both languages, hope, in both of these languages, hope is not just mere wishful thinking, but a firm reliance on God's character. So I go back to my phrase. I go back to my original phrase of Jesus, the hope of the world. And now all of a sudden, that takes on this whole new meaning. You see, because if I can write it out, I go, Jesus is the tikva. He is the rope and cord that we hold on to for safety and security with a sense of expectation, confidence in His presence and promises. Jesus is our peace of the world. He is the trust, the joyful expectation, and confidence in salvation. This is a powerful revelation and is relevant as a title for Jesus. You know why? Today more than just yesterday, because with Jesus' coming, because He is, with His coming, there is a fulfillment of God's promises. His coming shows God's faithfulness to restore what sin broke. Don't ever believe that He is not faithful. You may have prayers that are not yet answered, but let me tell you that He is a God who loves, and He has sent the answer already. The battle is not against flesh and blood. The battle against powers of principalities. It's the darkness that is fighting your answer. Continue pushing in. See Him face to face. Let hope rise up. Let hope rise up. Walk tall as a son and daughter and take back what the enemy has stolen. Because you know what? Another thing, it is more relevant for today because He is hope in the darkness. You see, Jesus' birth brought light to darkness, hope to despair, and assurance of God's presence. Assurance. Come on. As you step into 2025, know that He is with you. He goes before you. He is the God of yesterday, today, and forevermore. He is already in 2025. He is waiting for you to catch up. He's ready. Are you? You see, it's more for today, because He is the universal hope. His hope extends to all people, regardless of your background, regardless of your status, regardless of your circumstances, regardless of your history. This hope that He has is universal. There's an eternal and transformative hope. He offers salvation and reconciliation and the promise of a renewed creation. And then He is our anchor in today's world. And I want to stop here. I want to linger a little longer here, because we need to hear this. In a world facing conflict, in a world facing a lot of entitlement, in a world facing a lot of loss of identity, in a world where there's many diseases and challenges, Jesus, as the hope of the world, comes and He offers peace. He offers healing. He offers restoration. This is true hope, folks. This true hope provides a supernatural strength and courage to persevere. This hope, this true hope, provides a supernatural strength to embrace all that He has for us. All. He's got such good things for you. He's got such good plans for you. He's got such a good year for you. How do you know, JJ? Are you a fortune teller? No, I'm not. I know because I know my Father. I know because I know my identity. I know because He has carried us through the most dire of circumstances. And today I stand before you, no matter what the circumstances have looked like, and I declare it in front of you, and I say this: He is a good God. He is a loving God. He's a loving Father. And you know what? He is not moved by what we are moved, because He is God. He is El Shaddai, and He wants you and I as sons and daughters to walk in the hope and not be moved by what we hear, by what we see, or what we even feel. That's our come. This is the most important thing that you have, because as you sit and you read through this, you see Him face to face. It's not all about music. It's not all about kumbaya. It's not all about lying down in His presence and soaking. That's not the be all and the end all. This is where it starts. Because as you sit here and you ask Holy Spirit to reveal Jesus to you, guess what? He reveals the Father to you. He reveals the Father to you. This true hope provides a supernatural strength and courage to persevere and embrace all our loving Father has for us. If the team can join me, please. Choir, you can just wait a while. You can get ready, but not yet come up. Romans 15:13 is our prayer. Paulina's prayer and my prayer for you and your family. May the God of hope, may the God of El Peace fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in Him. And this is why: so that you may overflow with hope. You may overflow with El Peace by the power of the Holy Spirit. Twice the word El Peace is used. Twice the word hope, El Peace, is used. Our prayer is that you would experience the profound sense of trust and confidence that comes from God through the Holy Spirit, which leads you to overflowing hope. Our prayer is that Newman East family will be so strong in their hope that no matter what happens, we will stand. And we will not only stand, but we will be so much at peace, that we'll be so filled with His joy, that the community around us will be infected because of your presence. Mums and dads, hear me now. This is not just for you. This is for your children too. This is our prayer. May this hope not just be a fleeting feeling, but a confident expectation rooted in the promises of our faithful God. I taught this year there's 7,700 promises which are yours, written in this book, for you to own and make come to pass. My goodness, if your hope does not increase by reading 7,700 promises, then we need to pray for you. It's yours. Pulling in my prayers, may this hope be true hope, not a fleeting hope, not an insecure hope, but a true hope that strengthens you in times of trials. Trials are going to come. I'm not preaching a gospel and saying, oh, it's all going to be good, because it's not. Never is. Because we have one person who is our enemy, and his name is Satan. Not me. Not the person next to you. It's not your neighbor whose dog barks at 3 o'clock in the morning. It's not your boss. His name is Satan. It's his job to steal, kill, destroy. Only to steal, kill, and destroy. But our heart is that there will be a true hope that strengthens you in the times of trial. We're here. When the trials get tough, come down to the front. Let's pray for you. Let's stand in agreement. Let's stir the hope deep within you. A hope that fills your heart with so much joy and peace, even when the world around you may be uncertain. I wrote this down and I'm going to read it. Please, bold, underlined, highlighted, please, to every single one, every child, every young youth, young adult, to every senior, empowered person, empowered member, to every person listening to this podcast as well afterwards, I say, please put your trust in Him. Know that the Holy Spirit is at work within you so that the hope can overflow in your life. Enough is enough. The enemy has stolen enough. Rise up, church. Rise up, Numi East family. Rise up. Let the hope in you be so confident. So confident. That it becomes an anchor in your soul. An anchor starts with this. May your lives reflect the assurance of His promises. May His peace and joy fill every area of your life as you continue to trust Him through 2025. Through 2025. As you cross over, on that day, the 31st of December, I just had a check with my wife. As you cross over on the 31st of December, leave behind the disappointment of things, the disappointment of people, the disappointment of places, the disappointment of circumstances, leave behind the disappointments, full stop. As you cross over, embrace the true shalom. If you don't know what I'm talking about, go listen to the podcast. Embrace the peace of God. Embrace the true joy. Embrace the true hope. And may this next season be a season of fulfillment, a season of a life in abundance. That's our prayer. Didn't know I was going to get all emotional, but I really am stirred in my spirit, even as I was writing this down. Stirred in my spirit, there is a love between us. A love. When we say we love you, it's not just a flippant we love you. We love you. I pray every day for you. Every morning I pray for every single one of our Newman East family. Next year, I declare, is going to be the best year yet. No matter the circumstances. Come on. as you cross over on the 31st of December, leave the baggage behind. Do a prophetic act. Draw a line. Baggage, get out. You're not coming with. You stay here. Step over the line prophetically and say, I embrace. I embrace shalom. I embrace true joy. I embrace true hope. Father, I embrace you. I want all that you have for me in 2025. Merry Christmas. May the hope in Jesus fill your hearts and your homes this season and beyond. Amen. I really feel we're going to pray later, but we're going to do communion now. Really feel that this is something that out of this message, and for the last time in 2024, as a family, we come around the table. If you need elements, just raise your hands. We've got our team. If our team could just walk to Masani. Anybody down here need? We've got some in the corner here. I want everybody to have your element before I start. Everybody got? Everybody got? Anybody still needing? Okay, if I can have all your attention. Kids, you're doing so good. Thank you for being such amazing kids. We have the best kids at Numis. Best kids. If we can have the house lights dimmed just one more, please, Chris, that would be great. As we gather around the table today, we remember the powerful gift of communion, which brings us hope. Communion. It's not just a wafer and a juice. There's power. And these two little elements, they're significant supernatural power. The bread we break and the cup we share represents the body and the blood of Jesus, who gave his life to restore us to the Father. It's through his birth and through his sacrifice, you and I have hope. We have hope. This is just another element of hope. We have hope. Hope of what, JJ? Hope of eternal life. You see, what we have now is temporary. But what we are yet to enter into is eternal. This morning I said to one of our beautiful family members, I'm so sorry to hear of your loss. A young man. And his response to me was, he's in a better place. I'm like, yep, we still got to get there. That's the eternal life. The assurance of eternal life brings us hope. We have hope of healing. Hope in healing, because by his stripes, the Bible says we are healed. There, right there is hope. And we have hope of transformation. In a world that often feels uncertain, communion reminds us that hope is not just a distant dream. It's a present reality. This little cup this wafer reminds us that hope is a present reality. Jesus' victory over death ensures that our hope is alive. It ensures that our hope is strong. It ensures that our hope is unshakable. So as we partake today, let our hearts be renewed with the hope we have in Him, knowing that every circumstance, in every circumstance, His love and promises remain steadfast. Let this be a moment of renewal and expectation for the bright future He has prepared for us. Let this, as we take this morning, be a moment of renewal and expectation for the bright future He has for us. Let's take the bread together. Let's take the cup. Let's just bow our heads. Father, we thank You for Your Son. We thank You that through the birth, the death, the resurrection, we have hope. We have steadfast hope. We have hope that is confident. We have a hope that is eternal. We thank You for His body that was broken. And we thank You for His blood that was shed. You are beautiful. And we stand in awe. We stand in awe of You. Standing on. this together. We behold you face to face. And as we do, Father, our hope increases. As we see you for who you are, our hope increases. We pray that you will help us in this time. Reveal to us your goodness. Reveal to us who you truly are through the Holy Spirit. Reveal to us, because we are ready to receive the fullness of your hope. You are the God who never hides his face, whose presence is always available to us. It is in your countenance we see favor. We see your delight. We see your eternal purpose. And we say, pour out your Spirit upon us, Lord. Pour it out afresh as you have promised, let the outpouring of your Spirit reveal your face in our lives. As we see you face to face, Father, may we see your heart. May we see your purpose. May your plan become clearer. May this vision and reality of who you are stir deep within us an unshakable hope for the future. You are our future. You are our future. May the hope of God pierce the darkness. May the hope of God be the testimony that proclaims your truth, that you are unshakable. unshakable. We give you all the glory. We give you all the glory. Can you just put your hands on your heart this morning? Father, we release peace. I release joy, and I release hope through the power of the Holy Spirit. I release that now upon every person in this place, no matter how young, no matter how old. I release your favor. Father, help us to leave behind 2024 as we step into 2025. Father, may we in this time as well embrace the shalom of heaven. May we embrace the joy of the Lord, and may we embrace a hope that is unshakable. I declare over this family, 2025 will be the best year yet. That our eyes will be on you at all times, that we will not be moved by what we hear, by what we see, or by what we feel. We won't be moved by what people say, we'll only be moved by what you say. I turn our eyes onto you, Lord. We turn our eyes to you and we say, help us, Holy Spirit. Help us, Holy Spirit. We need help. You are the helper. We cry out, help us, Holy Spirit, to walk as sons and daughters of the Most High God. Put your hand on your neighbor. Just release the blessing of God upon them. Father, we pray for our neighbors in this room, at home, in our community. We pray for our neighbors and we ask in the mighty name of Jesus, Lord God, that you will invade their circumstances. You'll invade their families. You'll invade their lives, Lord God. And that through you, we will see not hundreds, not thousands, but millions being added to your kingdom in 2025. Use me. Use my neighbor. Say this. Use my neighbor on my left and my right to proclaim the gospel, shift atmospheres, bring heaven to earth, and see his kingdom come in Jesus' mighty name. Amen and amen. Come on, let's give God praise. Come on, we can do better than that. Merry Christmas.
Thank you for joining us. We hope that you enjoyed today's podcast. And we realize that not everyone has had the opportunity to respond to the good news of the gospel. And for this reason, in all of our services and platforms, we want to extend to you the opportunity to follow Jesus. The Bible teaches us that we have been created for a relationship with God. However, sin, which is essentially disobedience, independence, and disbelief, or us simply missing the mark, entered the world and separated us from God. Romans chapter 6, verse 23 says that the wages of sin is death. And a debt was owed, and the Bible tells us that he, Jesus, demonstrated his love for us, that while we were still sinners, he died for us. Jesus paid the penalty for our sin. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life." God so loved the world that he gave us Jesus, that whoever believes in him will be saved. All that is required of anyone is that they believe in Jesus, the Son of God, who came, lived, died, and rose again so that we could be forgiven, made right, and given the right to become children of God and to have life forevermore with him. Today, you can begin a relationship with Jesus. To believe in him is to simply to respond with faith in our hearts and confess with our mouths that he is Lord. And we do that through a simple prayer. Follow along with me. Dear Jesus, I believe that you are the Son of God. I thank you that you love me and came to forgive me of my sin. I repent from my old way of life and I turn to follow you. I receive the free gift of eternal life, and I ask that you fill me with the Holy Spirit so that I can live a life of following after you. I thank you that I am born again as a child of God, and that I am a new creation in Christ Jesus. Amen. If you prayed this prayer for the first time, we would love to connect with you and connect you to your next step and the local church in your area. You can contact us on our website at newmar.church. Thanks for listening.